This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Happy May 6th, day after Cinco de Mayo. Hope all that celebrate it able to get back to work today. It's a work day. And what a stunning night it was in the NBA last night. Both underdogs, both down double digits. I thought both games were over. But no! Mr. Clutch came through and won. And Mr. Jokic, my goodness. Not only was he putting up numbers, did you see him? He was coaching that team. When they fired Michael Malone, Nikola Jokic became the coach of the Denver Nuggets. Last night he coached them to victory. Player coach. What an effort it was by both, I mean, big underdogs. You're talking Pacers are up, Nuggets are up, Knicks are up. Weird.
Very weird.
But fun. So we've got plenty to talk about, include from the NBA, and we've got a little bit Tiger basketball scheduling news. I believe that was big enough, that certainly significant in terms of who you could face.
Right.
That you and I will be talking about that. I certainly want to know what you think about that team that you could face and what they might have next year.
Yeah.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Lots to get to. PJ Haggerty, moving on, man. Moving on.
Who?
Moving on up. I think that's one of those, you can't fire me, I quit type of deals, you know what I mean? Because he's going to NC State almost certainly. But, it seems like that bridge has been drawn up for Memphis and PJ Haggerty. So we'll talk about all that today here on the show. It's Tuesday. We're moving right along. Tuesday, May 6th. Edition of the show. Jessica Benson is going to join us at 11:25. Looking forward to that. And then we'll sort of wrap up the season again and then talk to her about the new hire, the old hire, and her thoughts on Isolo and sort of the off season for the Grizzlies, also some other playoff games. We'll do all that with her at 11:25. Then at 1:25, of course, Jason Fitz will join us. And we're looking forward to that. And we'll talk to him about the NFL, the draft. I don't think we got a chance to catch up with him last week.
Yeah, I think he did vacation right after, which is understandable.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him about how excited he is about Ashton Jeanty. Yeah, that's fun. And some other draft moves that he likes. So we'll do all that with Jason Fitz at 1:25. So that is the show today. But lots to get to. Brad, let's do a little thing we call Kaepernick. All right, the Knicks can win this. Cap or no cap.
I think I could make a strong case that they can, but I'm not sure I believe it. The Knicks have dogs. OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges are dogs. And they were brought to this team specifically to match up with the Boston Celtics. Now, we saw in the regular season this same Knicks team with those guys go 0-4 against the Celtics. Is it possible it can come together at the right time against a Celtics team that might be underestimating you. I mean, Carl Anthony Towns is going to have to be more consistent.
Yep.
But I haven't even said the man's name yet. He's the MVP of the playoffs right now. I guess you can make a case that Jokic is. But to me, Jalen Brunson is the MVP of the playoffs.
Yeah.
What he is doing in the clutch, Mr. Clutch, has been unreal. Steph, probably, since he led Golden State in points, rebounds, and assists against Houston. You know, MVP of the playoffs so far. Anyway, Brunson is that high level right now. They were built to push around a Jason Tatum that might a settling Jason Tatum that might not go to the basket enough. Jaylen Brown, he doesn't look right to me. Does he? Do you? I don't know. Brown was the only one going to the hole. They were going to the hole in the first half. They stopped in the second half. Point is, they're built to beat the Celtics. I heard Jay Williams say, look, Celtics make their threes like they usually do. They're 15, 20 points better than the Knicks. And I think that's probably the case. But things, I pointed out to you, look how many free throws the Knicks missed last night. They could have won that game going away. I think they shot 58% or something crazy from the line. They could have won that game going away a lot easier if they'd hit more free throws. My point is, I don't think it's that many even when the Celtics hit. Again, Celtics better team, clearly still the favorite. Yes, I can make a case that the Knicks can win this because they're built to beat the Celtics. That said, I don't believe it, so I'm going to go cap. Because in the end, I still think you get same Carl Anthony Towns that you've always got in the playoffs that can't come through for you. I'll tell you what, OG Anunoby, though, and Mikal Bridges, they're the type that do.
Right.
Bridges was making all the plays down the stretch defensively, yep. saving balls, starting to break. And OG is finishing off dunks. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
If they ever got, like, Great Cat to go with, you know, what they're getting from Brunson and the two forwards, my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, then you could see it. But
yeah.
I don't believe it. I don't think it comes together.
Right.
You know, the Celtics are going to miss 45 three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
They went 15 of 60. So you know what you're going to see. Jason Tatum's going to go to the basket next game because that's all he's hearing. And he should have. He settled too much. We'll think it's he's back. And then they'll go back to hitting threes and everything else probably, I don't know, six, seven, maybe seven. But I can't bring myself to believe the Knicks are going to do it. So
yeah.
I'm going cap.
No, I feel you. I don't think they can either or will. I think there's a lot of things that went right for them in that game. You know, KP got sick at the half, right? Porzingis got sick at the half.
What is going on with that?
I mean, he only played 13 minutes and they were up.
And is he going to be there or not?
I assume
the way?
So.
That's what I, you know, that's
you know, cuz I have sickness, so I think he'll be okay, but I mean, that explains a lot. You know, without him out there with that size, you have to rely on, you know, Luke Kornet and you know, 34 minutes of Al Horford. I mean, that's not the way, you know, that team was built. That team was – Porzingis was the missing piece. They couldn't get over without Porzingis. And I guess they ended up doing it ultimately because they won the finals last year, but he helped them get to the, you know, the one seed and all that last year in the regular season. So I think the Knicks – caught a lot of breaks. I mean, I don't know if there's anything that, you know, I can necessarily say that would be profound and different. Boston's not going to go 15 of 60 from three again, and it's just that simple. You know, are they going to go 17 of 37? Probably not. I mean, they're probably not going to go 46% from three again in this series. So
no, but they can do better. It's 17 of 30. They missed 14 free throws. Boston made all theirs.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
They're the more physical team inside. I think even with Porzingis, they can still be that.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the dogs.
Yeah, I agree.
Hart is a dog. Brunson's a dog. And if the Celtics aren't prepared to play like dogs at some point, you would think they'd respond after that kind of, you know, blowing a 20-point lead. If they're not going to play, if at some point they're not going to be dogs, go to the hole, get fouls, play physical, like it felt like they were going to do in the first half, you will lose this series.
Mm-hmm.
You will lose this series. Because last night the Knicks started to believe.
Mm-hmm.
They might have already done it. I mean, I know what we saw against Detroit, you'd say, no way. I mean, look at the way what did it come down from? Minus 900 to win the series to what is it now?
Yep.
Two something. You knew, didn't you?
I didn't have it in front of me, but
not minus 350.
350
went from minus 900 before game one to now minus 50.
Yeah.
Minus 350. All of them, you know, Cavs, same thing, minus 550 to now minus 220. OKC minus 900 to minus 320.
Yeah, I mean.
All these game ones have been shocking.
Very
at
much
At least
so.
Surprising, I'll say.
Yes, they have been very shocking. And so now, you know, it's just a matter of can they do it again? And I think they will probably extend this out, but I don't want to overreact. I mean, it is seven games. You know, I think we're kind of overreacting if we say, "Oh, the Knicks are going to do it." You know, I mean,
what is the can?
Yeah,
if it's can,
it's more like will win.
Then it's okay. Will is
can,
no
is can
cap.
Is like a it's like a pointless word, really. Yeah, they can. They're a professional basketball team.
Yes,
but,
just making
but,
sure.
But will they?
Yes, because I just made the case. So strong, yeah. I think a strong one.
Yeah,
especially if dude. How do you, if I'm a Boston fan, how do you not get? I know Tatum had his. You know, double-digit rebounds.
Yeah.
But how do you not get frustrated watching your superstar just settle like that?
Yeah, I agree.
Wow.
I agree.
Went 0-4 in the fourth.
So, yeah, there you have it. Knicks win game one outright. 9.5-point dogs. Closed 8.5, so there was some late money on the Knicks. Mm. But they were down, what, 16 at the half? They were getting road graded until... I don't know. I guess Boston stopped. I guess it was like all they took in the third quarter was threes, right? And none of them went in, and that's how it happens. You know, that variance can get ugly on you if it goes one way. All right, Nuggets will win this. Cap or no cap?
Will win it.
Will win it, man. Can is a pointless exercise as this conversation is concerned. We are no longer using that word.
Let's do it this way and be fair. Since you said I took a lot of the meat off the bone on the last one, you go right ahead.
Yeah, I think they – well, Will, up 1-0 with champs, I'm going to say no. They will not win it. But the price was wrong pre-series. Yeah. Mm.
Price was wrong.
Obviously, when you have a – and we talked about this yesterday. I think that was the pick of Brad's that I liked, right? And he ended up going 2-0 last night. So it's not even a fade Brad segment anymore. But I said, you know, 9.5, 10.5 with champs and Jokic. And I mean, he's going to have the best player. The Nuggets are going to have the best player on the floor.
And they did.
And it showed. And, you know,
42-22-6 is crazy. And yeah, coaching the team.
The Thunder were pretty, they were obviously they got good performances from Caruso. And I mean, he looked like he was the best player on their team.
Chet choked, make the free throws.
Yeah, Chet choked. And again, that's that inexperience, right?
100%.
I don't think they'll because I think now it's like, all right, they got kind of punched in the mouth. They didn't get punched in the mouth really ever other than that first half against the Grizzlies. So it's been a long time for them. So I think they're going to kind of like, you know, see that they, oh, nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think, you know, in a way, yeah, it will refocus them.
Well, yeah, especially Jalen Williams. He got to be better.
But,
and he will
be
better.
The Nuggets could take this 6-7. I mean, I think we could be back at OKC for a game 7. Obviously, Jokic is not going out quietly into the night.
Man, I wish somebody had put a – I was thinking about doing it because there was one shot of SGA as they were going to commercial. Man, he looked so worried. I don't know what – because they had just captured his face. But my point was, what it had me thinking about was how that – he never had that face in our series against them and how much more serious this must be feeling to him going against a champ. And you have Jokic's unbelievable performance, but Aaron Gordon knocking down that three?
Yes.
That's the iciness of we've been here before, that I'm not sure that OKC, I mean, they don't have anything for that, especially, again, when you're, you know, one of your key guys is up there at the end of the game, chance to put it away, and he's missing free throws. That feels like we haven't been here before. This is where we've struggled. We haven't gotten past this point, and that starts to seep in. I believe in the Nuggets, obviously. A lot of it's you got best player in the world, a lot more than I do the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to do it. You're getting – you know who else you're getting high level from too now? Westbrook.
Yeah, you are.
It's a Westbrook that's become a fan favorite for them in terms of but really a team favorite. Like, he just, you know, the energy brings everything else. It's not just that, but he's putting up numbers coming off that bit, and you're getting it consistently. And then you see Aaron Gordon, the guy that looks the most lost out. I just can't understand Porter.
Yeah,
if you could get high level him, I would say they're going to win this series, and I'd feel real good about it. But that dude is so on off. It's really weird. But I'm gonna go Nuggets win it. Because,
okay,
see, I saw some fear last night.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw. I saw it in SGA's face.
Yeah.
And Jalen Williams, you know, those guys are still young.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. So there you have it. I like it. Going on a limb. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Thunder. But yeah, I mean, nobody's holding anybody accountable up here.
I feel differently about that one than I do.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, Boston again has what the experience.
Yeah. Back.
Well, Denver's got it here.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah. This is the will win edition.
Change it all to will. Yeah. First one's cap. I'm going
will to win, bro.
I'm going no cap on Denver.
Pacers
winning.
Will win this cap or no cap.
Come on.
Come on, man, he says.
Can we get Darius Garland? Is Nashville going to be back in or not?
Not at shoot-around
when you need to count
Tuesday.
On Nashville, do they come through?
Never. Not once.
Wasn't he saying they need to move us or something?
Yes, he said they should move to Nashville.
Soft. Don't stop worrying about us. Worry about yourself.
Yeah.
Get in the playoffs. They need you. If Darius Garland plays, I think no problem. Cavs win.
But it's, you know, it's not just Garland, bro. He's not the only one that's having issues. Evan Mobley was not at shoot-around today.
Well, we need him.
So you've got multiple issues now going for you. Let's see. I feel like there was one other.
I'm not jumping off the ledge on the cap.
Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, and DeAndre Hunter not at shoot-around.
We're fine. Donovan's fine.
Yeah.
Donovan, what did he go? One of 11, something crazy from three. That's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
We'll be fine. We have to run those Pacers shooters off.
Yeah.
That's all they are.
Right.
I mean, they're a lot like the Celtics in that way. The way they'll chunk them up there, and it's everybody like you talked about earlier this week. So, no, man, Cavs got this. I'm not going to overreact. Atkinson's uncontrolled. He's the coach of the year. Should have been JB, just out of my heart.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Yeah.
He took the Cavs to a new level. We'll see if it was real, though. This is where it matters.
Yeah.
They better. They better, right? I have not shifted on this one in the way that I feel like I've shifted on the Denver series, Denver OKC, and might shift on Knicks later. But no, still believe Boston will come through there.
Yeah, so I do think the Pacers win.
Get out of here.
I love the way they play. I love the way everybody on the floor can shoot, every single person, whether it's Miles Turner, whether it's Pascal Siakam, whether it's Naismith, whether it's Obi Toppin, whether it's Halliburton, whether it's...
Halliburton going to keep playing defense, though? See, it was part of, you know, defensive plays helped them win that game.
It did.
I mean, what, like Cavs were just out of it. They were up there.
Yeah.
Before it was a 15-4 run there.
I think that's the result that is most believable of all of them, though, because
really? The
Pacers didn't do anything other than that they didn't do in the regular season. I mean, yeah, Donovan Mitchell missed a lot of threes, but again, I always go back to it, man. This Cavs team is the same Cavs team we said a year ago did not have enough. And it's basically the same team. Would they add Strus?
DeAndre at the deadline.
Add DeAndre at the deadline to a guy in the margins who's played well.
Oh, he's legit, bro.
But he's not an all-star, you know? So
six-man running, I'm sure he was in.
We're on opposite sides, pal. We're on opposite sides.
I know it gets personal for you. It sounds like some money's already been placed on this one.
No.
I can sense it, and I can back off when that's happening.
No money on it. But I do
fights.
I do like the Pacers in the series. I like the way they play. I like Rick Carlisle as a championship coach.
Okay.
You know?
I respect it. I respect the pick. I respect you going out on this limb.
Yeah. This.
But I think the odds favor you in terms of the series, I just read out to you, right?
Because I think, again, the injury concerns are part of that calculation.
Yeah, because Cavs are only minus 220.
Right.
OKC still minus 320, and Boston still minus 350.
Right, so I'm going on a limb the least.
Yes, you are. Your limb is not so long as mine.
No, it is not. But I still like
But neither one of us went on that Knicks limb.
No, quite not, okay. Not quite ready.
Okay.
And then finally, Memphis basketball will win this Bahamas event they're going to play in this year, which includes Purdue and Wake Forest. And we're still looking for a four team. So if you're out there and you're looking for an event in the Bahamas, please contact the Bahamar.
I'm assuming we won't get them first.
Let's hope not.
What do they got?
Everything. They brought back everything.
Top five? Top 10?
Number one.
They're number one. They're going to be number one in the country.
They're going to probably be the preseason number one team in America.
Because
they're bringing back their All-Americans. Braden Smith and Trey Kaufman-Wren.
Braden was back.
Yeah. I believe Athletic had them number one in their way too early.
Okay.
I think ESPN had them number one in their way too early. So you're talking about most likely the number one team in America. And they added the big kid, Oscar Clough, from whatever it was, South Dakota State.
Oh, my Lord.
So I hope we don't have to play.
I hope we have Dane.
Yeah. Well, even Dane's going to be tough, but yes. I'm going to say no. I'm going to get out in front of this and say Memphis cannot win it because Purdue is in it. But it's an interesting event because Purdue is in it. And you know, one of the things that's interesting now is I think Hitman Hoops reported this that they tried to get into players era and they were told no.
Well, I'm sure there's a waiting list for that thing.
Yes, because everybody gets paid.
Yeah, everybody wants that one.
You know, that's where everybody wants to be now. So if you're not in that, you know, everything else kind of becomes, you know, not as attractive, right? So
Tennessee won last year over Baylor. Parth points out.
Oh, and the yes, that's right. That's right.
This event.
So
Bahama.
Yeah. I think
that's a nice another trip for Parth and for Munsey, you know? Nice another trip to the Bahamas.
Dude, good for them. They get to go to the Bahamas two straight years. Was it Bahamas last year?
Well, it was Maui, bro.
Maui and Bahamas back-to-back
and
years.
Then they did Bahamas before, right? I mean, wasn't Wiseman and them? Weren't they down there, too?
Yeah.
It seems like he's done that foreign trip, too. That's factored in.
Amazing.
Amazing trips for beat riders as well as the Tigers.
Exactly. So, good for them. But I think, no, they probably cannot win it because Purdue is in it.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I like our, Ashton will have to have 30.
Yeah.
I like what we've pieced together.
Yeah, we've done it.
I don't know that we have any All-Americans except for possibly Dane.
And Doug. Don't forget Doug.
Doug, All-American? All-American Doug McDaniel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to average 30 a game. Look out. Look out, man. No, I'm just making stuff up. But he'll be good. He'll be a good player. I'm excited about that. But not stacking up against Purdue, though. I mean, that's like a AAC conversation, you know?
Y'all, I'm glad you played this, you know, get John in a good mood. Every time. He was mad at me about saying the Pacers ain't real, but now he's back to happy. Thank you,
yeah,
Brad.
And you're like the rest of the NBA, man. Just no respect for Tyrese, you know?
I respect him. I respect the way he's responded. Overrated.
All right, we'll come back. Jessica Benson will join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about the hire of Isolo, the playoffs, Riverbeat, and more. Jason and John, I'm trying to find ESPN. Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. She joins us every single Tuesday, and she joins us now. All right, we got an answer. Tuomas Isolo is going to be the next head coach on a permanent basis for the Memphis Grizzlies. What do we think?
I don't think there is much of a surprise factor there when we got the press release on Friday, and I guess you could say surprise at the exact moment that it comes through on a Friday afternoon when all the attention was on Greg Popovich's coaching decision earlier in the day. But now it, you know, requires a certain level of patience to understand how we will ultimately feel about the hiring of Tuomas Isolo, because there's not a whole lot that you can take from those 15 games that he coached once he took over. And for all we know, Tuomas Isolo could be the next greatest coach of all time. But until we see how this team turns around under his, or hopefully turns around under his leadership next season, it's difficult to feel really strongly one way or another. At least that's how I ended up coming away from it over the weekend.
We will get a press conference, right?
I don't know. I did realize that this morning. I would assume that we would get a press conference and that it wouldn't be wrapped into the end of the season exit interviews when, you know, a decision still hadn't been made public, and certainly can't hang on to his last press conference that came after that Game 4 loss.
Right.
One would anticipate that, but I do not know if and when there will be one.
Yeah, I mean, I think there should be one,
what?
Right?
Isn't there always
I think fans would,
yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Eventually there would...
Like, you already had, like...
You know, I never want to speak definitively, but yes, there was always a press conference
right.
in this kind of a situation. And listen, like, I think it would really benefit fans to have the opportunity for Tuomas Isolo to sit down and lay out his vision and kind of go through once again, you know, his story and what brings him to Memphis. Like, I think there's genuine value in that, but it's also the expectation of it, right? Like, it
right.
feels weird if there isn't one.
Yeah, they may want to wait, right, to make sure, like, what if any roster moves are made before they trot him out there and he says something that gets thrown back in space. I think that makes sense.
Maybe, and so maybe it's a kick-the-can press conference down the road, and maybe it's, you know, not wanting an interference with the NBA playoffs and trying to give a day where there's actual attention to be had. But, listen, I mean, you can do it any time. Like, we just saw what the Spurs have done in the last few days, and I think there's definitely a desire to hear more from him at
yeah.
some point this offseason.
I mean, as auditions go, I mean, what did you think? I mean, it's a, you know, again, we kind of had this discussion last week, but it's hard to know what you really could earnestly expect out of him, given the circumstances he was thrown into. But what do you think they took away? What do you think they found in these, you know, in this short sample?
Well, I found myself asking the question, you know, is there anything Tomas Isolo could have done to not end up being named the head coach? And it feels like the answer is no, except perhaps if there had been some sort of disconnect or dissonance between him and the players. And that much, I think, is clear. There's a respect level there based on what we heard from Jaw, from Jaron, from Dez at exit interviews. And I know some people wanted to brush it off as, well, what are they supposed to say? That's a sign of maturity. But I did feel like there was value in their words. And for, you know, lack of a better word, it felt like a stamp of approval in that moment. And I think that's where some of us really recognized, oh, he more than likely is going to be the person who ends up being the head coach at the end of this thing. But I think when you look at how he interacts with the team, this idea of difficult conversations being had and pushing them into uncomfortable territory, that's important. Like, you can't have a situation where this team continues to coast on what they've done in years past, because frankly, that hasn't worked. So it's difficult. I know it brought up constantly 15 games, two practices. It is a reality, though. Like, there wasn't a lot done or that could be done in that time frame that was going to dramatically change this team's circumstances. I think for me, even watching, you know, in the last week of the Denver Nuggets and the other team that surprised many when they fired Michael Malone in the middle of the season or towards the end of the season and ended up going with an interim head coach, what strikes me the biggest difference is the Nuggets were in a position where they were in a better place to be able to trend upwards. And so changing the person at the helm, the leader in that coaching role, made enough of a difference where they were able to turn things around and are now, you know, get a game one win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. For me, it really shows that the Grizzlies are in a place where it was never just about making a change at head coach. Like, something has to be done where you're not just trotting out the exact same thing that you saw last season. And I think that's where, you know, Tomas Isolo will ultimately be helped by what changes happen to the roster this offseason. And also, you know, what does his assistant coaching staff look like? I think that'll be a big thing to track here. Who will be alongside him to help? Because it is a difference, as we've said over and over again. Coaching European basketball gives you experience, but it is different doing a full season in the NBA.
Which of the two results were you most surprised by last night? Knicks winning or Nuggets winning?
I have to go with the Knicks, because I honestly thought the Celtics had an opportunity to sweep that series. I didn't expect the Nuggets to win game one. It felt like a scheduled loss coming off of, you know, game seven being Saturday and all the talk about the Thunder being rested, and the Celtics got a fair amount of rest too. But it turned into the situation for the Knicks last night where, like, they had to win that game. By coming back down 20, it would have felt detrimental if they had lost that game and all of that. Whereas with the Nuggets Thunder series, I'm more intrigued than ever in how that will play out and how the Thunder will or will not respond to getting punched in the mouth and all the narratives around them and their inexperience in the playoffs perhaps being something that hinders them. Meanwhile, the Celtics will go take another 63s, and this time they won't miss 45 of them, and I ultimately think they'll come away with it. But it was interesting to see the Knicks at least get one.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. That's a tough team. You can, you know, again, people forget, you know, it's a seven-game series, right? You got to win four of those. One is great. You know, I wish the Grizzlies would have won one, but, you know, here we are. All right, other news in the playoffs. We got the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Golden State Warriors tipping off later tonight, 8:30. Ant-Man is great. Ant-Man said this is the team I wanted to see in the preseason. You know, he slayed LeBron. I'm trying to think of who else he's kind of gone through.
Kevin Durant last year.
Kevin Durant. Luka technically now on that same team,
Luka,
right?
Technically.
And
technically he did Jokic.
You're right. No, he did. Jokic counts. There's one notch on the bedpost that he hasn't gotten yet, and that's Chef Curry. Does he get it in this series?
I want to say yes. For the sanity of my household, listen, like, I was not prepared for yet another ride on the Warriors making a serious push merry-go-round of Warriors fans hanging on for one more year and having a reason to believe in it. And, God, I mean, what are you going to do when they ultimately make enough plays down the stretch against the Rockets and I was going to call him Chef Curry. Steph Curry's going to Steph Curry and come alive just when you need a couple of those big threes. But I do think the Timberwolves are a better team. Now, matchup-wise, there are some places where I think the Warriors can take advantage of the Timberwolves in a way that they weren't able to find success against the Rockets completely, and also where the Timberwolves were able to find success against the Lakers. But that said, like, Minnesota is the team that I would pick to advance from this series. So it would mean that Anthony Edwards adds another notch to its belt. But I'm kind of at this point with the Warriors where I just refuse to believe that they're going down until I see it, right? Like, I mean, it just kind of feels like 2022 all over again. The Grizzlies were the young, you know, had a scheduled two seed but had every opportunity to end the dynastic tendency of the Warriors, and they didn't, and the Warriors go on to win it all. And until I see them get stopped, it's difficult for my brain at this point to say, you know what? Like, it is this Timberwolves team that's going to be the one to get it done.
Does Ja Morant have the same charm when he turns it on to you as Anthony Edwards? Is it the same?
No, it's different. And awesome. So it's, I don't know. And I've really tried to grapple with this because it is this factor of, it's just personality. Like, what Anthony Edwards does where he invites this level of, like, charisma in through his play is yes. just a, it's a like, symptom of who he is. And when Ja Morant turns it on, there's something that's very, exciting, electric, like, drives this charge where you feel like you're witnessing something special when you watch it. But it's this difference in, like, how it connects from the personality side of it. And I think it ultimately it comes through, too. Like, Anthony Edwards does not have a squeaky clean off-court
reputation. Kind of what I was getting at. Yeah.
And even an on-court reputation. And but, for some reason, it does not hover uh-huh. in the way that it does for not just Ja, but other athletes, too. Like, Anthony Edwards has that smile and that kind of, like, impishness to him, where there's like a cheekiness, I guess, to Anthony Edwards that allows for him to kind of fly through some of the stuff that you would think would lead people to be a little more critical of him. And I really, like, the more I've thought about it, the more for me it just boils down, like, some people are just born with it. Like, we see celebrities all the time. We're like, God, they just have that it factor. And Anthony Edwards just has that it factor.
Is the difference that Ja either comes off as or is trying to come off as hard and Anthony doesn't?
I don't think so, because okay. when Ja is really, and I guess sometimes he does, but for me there's a like a youthful energy, there's like a, I don't know, almost a playground ball energy with Ja sometimes, and that's not hard. That's
no,
fun.
You see it. He's
that's
smiling. Like, yeah, I've seen that, but
yeah,
that's what I said. You've seen times where Ja's
yeah,
I'm with you. Yeah, where it's kind of storybook. You put the whole family in front of it and everybody enjoys it. You know what I'm saying? Everybody eats it up, the kids, the parents, and all of it. When he's smiling.
Yeah, and it becomes
and
this
out,
level of like,
yeah.
I could do that. Like, you know, it's not like he's the biggest guy in the league. Like, there's a like a whimsical, that's a weird word to use with basketball, like a whimsical nature with how Ja plays sometimes. So it doesn't, it's not like he's constantly trying to do this like, I'm out against everybody. I would almost say it's the opposite of that at times, but it has become this reputation that has settled in that I feel like doesn't allow people, and not everybody, of course, we're not talking like in the singular, but for some people to attach themselves to his personality in a way that maybe somebody else does. It's more like you're attaching to the play instead of the player when it comes to Ja.
Yeah, I mean, it is true, but I think he can get back there. Yeah. I really do. I mean,
I completely think. And, like, my thing is a piece of it comes down to, you know, how there's only so much people can do in Memphis. Like, it will take these opportunities coming on a national stage and in front of a lot of people. And you know, reputations are built in the playoffs. We understand that. But even towards the end of last season, like, just those special moments where he's on the court with Kari either before or after a game, and you see, like, he's a dad who loves his daughter and a daughter who, like, idolizes her dad, and it's a very sweet thing to see. Or the moments with his teammates where he's joking around, like, more of that being showcased and shared through social media. Like, I hate that we live in a society where that is a piece of the pie, but it really is, and that's how people ultimately kind of figure out, like, the extras of who this person is. And I think if people saw more of that, they would be able to kind of have the more holistic version of the jaw that we anticipate could be reached, like what you're kind of talking about, John.
Yeah. Talking to Jessica Benson, joins us every single Tuesday here on the show, Catcher on the Jessica Benson Show, Grind City Media. I was talking earlier this week about River Beat Fest, and I was really in my Memphis feelings about it. I said that I saw you there. I saw a bunch of my other friends there. That I mean, I think you would have been there, like, come hell or high water, because you live down there and that's your vibe. But there were a lot of people. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people out there that I would not say that about. And they found a way to, you know, get down there. They wanted to see Benson Boone. They wanted to see Missy Elliott. They wanted to see, you know, whoever. Right. It was a star-studded group of people. And I honestly felt like, you know, man, Memphis takes so many hits. In downtown Memphis, takes so many hits. And to me, it just says all people want is the acts they want to see. And if you build it, they will come.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it just showed that this kind of event can still exist in this city, and it can be a really positive experience for everybody who came down. Like, the thing that struck me, one, it's just, as someone who lives downtown, stands for downtown, gets in many arguments constantly with people in and around the city about downtown Memphis, like, I just love to see it thrive, right? I love to see it crowded. I love the energy that comes with it, the vibe, businesses being busier than usual downtown. Like, I went to get bagels at my favorite spot, Hive, on Sunday morning, and it was packed. Like, it was like a 30-person line, and I enjoyed that outside of the fact I had to wait 30 minutes for breakfast. But the festival itself, talking to people who aren't from Memphis who were here, they kept using words like, wow, this is so underrated, or wow, I can't believe more people don't know about this. And that's an exciting thing, because if it can continue to grow, and from year one to year two, I went last year as well, and just seeing the growth both in crowd size and how they continue to utilize the space. Like, it's very well organized. It's very clean. It feels like the venue it just fits the festival well, where you're able to navigate from one stage to the other. And if you want to stay at one set late, like, even I was at Ludacris on Friday, and Ludacris' set was actually maybe my favorite of the entire weekend, but I wanted to get to Missy Elliott in time to get a pretty decent place to stand. And we barely left Ludacris early, and we had a great spot to be at for Missy Elliott. Like, nice. That can't be said about every festival. And so there's just a positive experience from a fan standpoint that comes with being at one of these festivals that has a good crowd, where you feel like you're getting the full experience, but isn't claustrophobic to the point where you can't do anything. Mm. And so however they have laid that out at this point has been really good, in my opinion. And I see a world where Riverbeat can get on, you know, the festival circuit, where people from other cities, people from other countries kind of circle it as this underrated destination, and hopefully we see it continue to grow. But I just think, like, the more we can really come through and celebrate the positive things that happen here, the better. And I thought Riverbeat was spectacularly positive.
Let's stay with the arts and entertainment portion of this segment. Have you seen Sinners?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What I need to know is this. John, yesterday, said this is going to have my man Michael B. Jordan up for a Best Actor nomination, an Academy Award. Is he right that he will be up for one after essentially playing two roles in this movie?
It would not surprise me one bit if he's nominated for an Academy Award. Yeah, he's that good. The one thing that'll, I don't call it an issue, but just the timing that Sinners came out, like, the awards circuit becomes such a, like, what have you done for me lately at times. And so you usually see movies dropped later in the year, kind of the more like artistic projects, the award baits, I guess you would call them, get nominated. But I think a lot of performances, production value, Coogler as a director, their composer should absolutely be nominated for Best Score. I could see a world where Sinners is the most nominated movie of the year. Like, I thought it was spectacular from a technical achievement, and that includes the performances from Michael B. Jordan to everybody else involved. Even if, like, not everybody likes every movie, and so I never want to come through and be like, oh, if you don't like this movie, like, you don't get it. But you can at least respect the movie for being, like, one of the best made movies that we've had in recent memory.
No, I mean, I don't think, I mean, if you don't understand that movie, like, you're not using your thinking cap. That's pretty, you know, it's not like a Jordan Peele film where you're like, oh, I don't know. I got to go Google that. I got to go see what that's all about. And I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, you know, what that one is about. I will say, like, the only thing that worries me is, like, you know, it feels like studio movies like that just never, like, it's almost like held against them, right? Like, the budget and stuff. It's almost like you get graded on a curve when you're a big budget film like that. And so that would be the only thing I feel like that would deter, you know.
Yeah, but we just saw a year where, like, Wicked had many a nomination. Yeah. Dune 2 had many a nomination. We've seen, like, Black Panther and Chadwick Boseman getting recognized for his work in there. So it happens. It just takes a special movie, and I think Sinners absolutely fits that criteria.
Who slayed at Met Gala?
Oh, so many slays at Met Gala. You want to know what struck me, though, for your sports audience at Met Gala? There has never been more of a sports presence on the Met Gala carpet as there was last night. And originally, LeBron James, I don't know if you've heard, he injured his knee in the series.
John informed me yesterday that only Savannah was going, that John had...
Yeah, so he was not able to attend.
Is that like the F1?
What is that, an F1 helmet with the... I mean,
I don't know.
Schoolless, Jess. What?
Yeah.
We can't understand.
Yeah, who is
that? Hamilton was there. But there was not a single NBA player represented last night. And Dwayne Wade, but he's always there with Gabrielle Union. But there wasn't a single current NBA player. And I think that is wrong. I don't understand. I get that, like, Russell Westbrook and SGA are probably your two best candidates to represent that space. And Westbrook's there often. But now he's playing, so he couldn't be there. But I just felt it really stood out to me that there were multiple WNBA players, multiple NFL players, Lewis Hamilton, the Williams sisters, Simone Biles is there, and yet no active NBA players. So I thought that was a missed opportunity.
It's Damson who had on this damn helmet and jumpsuit. Damson, you know, the guy from
Snowfall.
Oh,
yeah, the one. Yeah, 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 where he takes off the, and it, like, reveals the under, and he has the red, is it a sparkly helmet? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Did you see Andre 3000 with the piano on his back?
No. I must look. I saw Rihanna with the baby bump, showing off the baby bump.
She's pregnant again. We're never getting a new album. It's just never happening.
And then Diana Ross had an 18-foot train.
Diana Ross was one of my favorite looks of the evening. It was a whole thing. Zendaya had a very, like, Carmen Sandiego type look going on.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, I said Carmen Sandiego is great. That's a great description.
I really love Tiana Taylor's look, just for somebody who isn't afraid of the audacity of it all, because for me, the Met Gala is all about just kind of the ridiculousness and the richness of dressing up and putting on the show. And then Lupita Nyong'o was in this really pretty, like, pale bluish green situation with a tiny hat on top. She was my other favorite best dressed of the night.
Love doing this every year with you. Thank you.
Great stuff. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate
Talk you. Talk to you later.
Yep.
Bye.
She schools me every year.
Every single year, man. Hey, you want to grow your wealth? Can school you on that. Do it at Leaders Credit Union. Better rates on savings and checking? Leaders Credit Union is here to help. Boost your savings with 3.75% APY on their Forward Plus High Yield Savings Account. If you want to earn more on your checking, their Champion Rewards Checking Account offers 4% APY. Don't wait to invest in your financial journey. Get to it now. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN to learn more. Leaders is federally insured by the NCUA and is your financial
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Champion. The Live Love Memphis Group, they are the best. Jennifer Carstensen heads the team. I speak, as you know, from personal experience. 2018 it was. Had a home in Raleigh. I didn't think I'd be able to sell. Thought I'd spend thousands just to get it on the market. Called Jennifer Carstensen, and she said, no fool. She didn't really use the word fool, but she might as well have. I was a fool. And maybe I wouldn't have been if I'd gone with someone else and they had said, you know what, you can spend a few thousand to get this thing on the market. Jennifer said, no, fool, just a few hundred. Came to less than a thousand. She had that home looking like a $250,000 house. And let me tell you what, I didn't pay that for it. And I didn't expect to get anything close to that for it. She got me more money than I thought I'd ever get. And then she helped us find our dream home as well. I suggest you call 901-625-5200. If you got a sign that's not Live Love, that's been in the yard for a while, and I'm seeing some weeks extended, you need to call Live Love. 901-625-5200. At the very least, she's going to be a great resource for you. Like I like to say, you're not signing anything. You got questions, she's got answers. And if there's a path to home ownership, which she wants to do, get you out of that renting situation, get you there, she's going to do it. And it's going to be good for you. So Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agents. All right, we're back. Jason DeJohn, 90.9 FM, ESPN. You mentioned as we were coming back, Executive of the Year voting is out.
Sam Presti is your Executive of the Year. Why wouldn't he be? He has put together another nucleus that looks like it's championship worthy, having done it and failed, right? But now had the chance to put it back together. And again, he built up an equity in terms of those deep runs that they made. That we'll see if a guy like Zach Kleiman, right? Whether it's where you have a core, you think maybe.
He won it once.
Right. Well, right. No votes for Zach Kleiman this year, as you probably would expect at this point. He's certainly not in the top 13 that I'm looking at right here.
Yeah.
What I would tell you is that, you know, you got Nico going to be at the bottom of this thing.
Yep.
And that's where a lot of people are going to look in terms of, you know, collapses this season, guys who messed up. I mean, the Philadelphia thing was an absolute mess this year, as was Phoenix. A lot of that was Ishbia, though, trying to make a big splash when he became owner. But I would say that, I mean, you talk about going from two, you know, to where you ended up and getting swept out of the playoffs because you dropped down to the play-in and had to play OKC. If not for Nico and a couple other bad jobs, this collapse would be even more, you know, sort of more highlight. But yes, shout out to Sam Presti and certainly deserving, and then Cleveland's Kobe Altman was second.
Yeah, I mean, there's
Langdon, the former your Duke guy, Trajan Langdon, Detroit, was third.
There's definitely, there's a lot of guys to choose from, you know. I mean, it was a year where you had multiple teams that have, you know, transformed overnight, right? I mean, Detroit in that conversation.
How much different is that roster than what Monty had last year, though?
Well,
I thought JB's.
He hired JB, right? So you get credit for that.
Sure. Good call.
I think that's probably one part of it. It would not get credit for Ron Holland as a draft pick, probably. But you do get credit for Asar Thompson, who guarded Jalen Brunson nobly for the majority of that game six or whatever it was. So
he really did.
I think it's probably that. It's like, okay, he drafted Jalen Duren, which was not obvious, or he traded for Jalen Duren, which was not obvious. He drafted Asar Thompson, which again probably not obvious either. It was a draft night trade for Jalen Duren.
Okay,
I'm almost positive. But he was, I think Jalen was originally selected by the Hornets.
Okay.
And
draft nine deal.
Yeah, maybe that was like already agreed upon, but and they selected for him. But either trading for or drafting Durant, right? You get credit for that.
Absolutely.
So I think he's certainly in the mix, but yeah, you just
you're right, Charlotte.
Yeah, you cannot and what he's been there since
2022.
Okay, yeah. So he's responsible for all of that that's happened. I don't think he drafted Kay. That's the only thing he didn't do. But you know, yeah, you get credit for development, you get credit for hiring coaches. He didn't win it, of course, but I'm just saying I would have had a hard time. I mean, I can't ignore Sam Presti, and I probably would have voted him one. I would have had no choice because all their hits.
He had 10 first place votes. Altman and Langdon both had 6 first place votes.
You go get Caruso. You go sign a Hartenstein in free agency. Like, I mean, what did the guy not do this offseason? You know what I mean? So I think that's a big part of it.
Lawrence Frank, who I thought was the Clippers, he's fifth here, came out yesterday and had some really strong supportive words of James Harden. At a time where everybody's saying they should run him off because of that Game 7 performance, including most of the ESPN analysts, Kendrick Perkins, those guys, saying, that, you know, how many times are we going to watch James Harden blow it up, you know, blow you up in a Game 7? Clippers should keep Kawhi and Norman Powell and move on from him. But Lawrence Frank sounded like a guy that said, you know, look, man, we love him to death. I mean, he was emphatic about it to a point that, man, if they did move off of him, it would be surprising. So he didn't have to do that. There's been nothing, it feels like, but criticism of the Clippers and needing to get James Harden off the roster. But he sort of put his foot down yesterday. So I'm just saying that to say I'd be surprised now if he does leave. I was kind of I'd been convinced as well. He was good during the regular season, though, and that's what Frank doubled down on, that he gave us everything we asked for. He was a great point guard in the regular season.
Yeah.
But old James Harden, playoff James Harden, showed up in Game 7, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You let Christian Brown hold you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's where we are now, then you don't need the reins.
Oh, I mean, that's definitely true. I mean, it's a tough one. But, yeah, I mean, I think there was
– should have won that series.
There's a lot, man. There's a lot to like. You know, around the league with the executives, you know, lots of teams. And then it's like, you know, how do you, you know, I guess you can't name the Denver executive, but can you give it to the owner?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I might have to give it to the owner. I got to give the owner some votes because, I mean, he fired the coach, he fired the GM, and this team is like up 1-0 on the Thunder.
Made Jokic the coach, literally.
Yeah. So that was a good hire. That was a really good hire. I'm just starting to wonder, like, with that team, like, is it just like Mahomes with Jokic, where it's like he's the best player in the league and he's best player in the world, and like if you're getting 10.5 points with the best player in the world, you just kind of have to bet it and kind of have to live with it? I mean, I kind of feel like he might be in that territory, you know?
Yeah, he's one of the greatest we've ever seen, not just one of the greatest centers.
Yeah.
He's one of the greatest players we've ever seen.
Because, like, you know, with the Mahomes, we do that, right? Like, with the Mahomes, we say
– do we still do that, though?
I mean, until the Super Bowl, lopsidedness, we did. We did it against the Bills again. We did it against, you know –
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now, and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.